This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk. Now, last week, you might have heard Kashminder Singh from Mobile World Magazine talking about the best of 2013. He gave his mention of best smartphones, best tablets, and also the duds of 2013. However, today, we're going a bit in-depth. I have here with me Samuel Tan and Bernard Yeo from Mobile Fest. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So today, we're going to break down best of 2013. We know we're going to talk about apps. We're going to talk about smartphones as well, then Ultrabooks, a whole bunch of other stuff. Yeah. So let's start off first with iOS devices.
Yeah.
This year saw the release of iOS 7 as well.
Yes.
So let's just talk a bit about the operating system. iOS 7.
Yes, the iOS devices actually this year is pretty much either love or hate. But for people who love Apple, probably they like this kind of improvements. But for people who they find the new UI and so on, the user interface
very
might be
cartoony.
Everyone will find fault. They can't find fault with the OS, they'll find fault with the icons.
Yeah, but personally, that's my favorite. I mean, I find that's a huge change. Mm. I think they also make a bold step in terms of changing, making a bold statement, because they also replaced the previous the iOS head. So now they have a new person working on it. So yes, that's a good change. I think in terms of the security wise, also we see much of the improvements as well. But other than that, you talk about in terms of function features.
I think more of the changes are towards the back end rather than the front end side. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of hidden things that maybe users are not aware, but they think it's the same old, but actually there are a lot of changes.
Sure. Because it's also the rollout of a 64-bit processor on the iPhone 5.
Yes. And that's quite significant.
Mm. Yeah. But so far, we don't have that many apps. Mostly, maybe the games developers are the one who actually benefiting from that. But if you talk in terms of the iOS best devices this year, I think Apple, again, they do not so much surprise, but they really make all the Apple fans very happy with the Retina display for the iPad mini. That is actually among the Mobile Fest favorite pick for time being in terms of the tablet, because of the stunning display, because finally it's Retina display.
Mm. What about the iPad Air? Because during the launch, I was saying, it's like, hands down, definitely I'm going to buy the iPad mini Retina display. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the shop and then you carry the iPad Air, you realize that, wow, this is actually really light. Yeah. And because of the very small bezel at the side, it's slightly smaller, so you can still kind of fit it in one hand.
Yeah, I think it's a natural progression, mm-hmm. because with the MacBooks, we have the MacBooks and then later on the MacBook Air. Mm. And I think with the iPad, it's naturally they have something thinner, lighter, you know. So I think everyone is waiting for that. So it's natural.
Mm. Yeah. What about thoughts on the iPhone 5S with the, you know, fingerprint scanner and all that? Do you see a progression in that as well?
I think in a way they have to, because otherwise you look at it, imagine a phone still the same size, still the same design, and then the only thing, because Apple is pretty much like this, the S behind it is always something more. The last time is the Siri, so this time we have the Touch ID.
Right, they have a gold color now, right?
Well, but that's one, I think, probably among the favorite. For almost everyone who is buying the iPhone 5S, must go for the champagne gold.
Yeah, correct. Mm.
All right, so let's move on to Android devices. Mm-hmm. You know, Android also had a lot of developments this year, especially with KitKat.
Yep.
What do you guys think about Android in 2013? Mm-hmm. Successful year?
In terms of also coming from the Mobile Fest, the favorite pick again will be the Nexus 5 and also the Nexus 7, because that are pretty much the two devices many of the Mobile Festers actually currently owning and also using it. Although I think the Nexus 5 doesn't reach our shore here. However, I think
not yet.
So that's why many of us already you can get you know, from many places. Yeah. Must say that the Google team, they really put in a lot of effort in making this the Android experience no longer something where it's like people said it is maybe slightly lower than iOS or whatever, but I think now it's either on par or already better than the iOS.
I feel that Google, since they acquired Motorola mobile unit 1 or 2 years ago, they have that now the background on the hardware side. So when they develop KitKat, I think they took into consideration mm-hmm. the hardware aspects of it. They are able to work with the brands better, mm. As evident in the Nexus yeah. 5 and now the Nexus 7 as well. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, yes, there's been a massive progression. Mm-hmm. As far as the KitKat compared to the mm-hmm. previous
I think there was a lot, again, like you mentioned, for iOS, there was a lot of back-end development mm-hmm. that we consumers just don't see it. And yeah. KitKat is one of it as well. I mean, mm-hmm. when you compare it with 4.3, in terms of UI, there's mm-hmm. not much difference, yeah. but back-end stuff, there's a yeah. lot
and
of changes.
And the other thing that I noticed also, they are able to react faster to market mm-hmm. problems. For example, mm-hmm. when KitKat was first released, there were or Nexus, when it was first released, there were a lot of complaints about the camera.
Yeah.
They were mm-hmm. able to fix it within weeks. So
me and Sam had the problem.
Yeah, true.
Man, I always bring the iPhone along to take picture. but I must add on is that in terms of the talking about the speed to fix things, right? Yes, they're also quite fast because they launched the 4.4.1. Then I think in less than a week or mm. a week later, it's immediately 4.4.2. So yeah. I think that's something where Google is quite serious. They already realized, hey, this is no longer a small mm. market. Mm. Yeah.
But yes. enough about mm. stock Google. Mm-hmm. What about the other the players, the HTCs, yep. the Samsungs? Mm-hmm. What have they done in 2013 that captured your attention? Mm.
Let's talk about Japanese brand.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I think for Sony, they have also put a lot of efforts as well because they make their phone really sexy. In the past, we thought probably the one that make the phone nice, you know, other than a Korean brand, is the HTC. But we must say that the Sony, because some of the Sony people also invited us for some of their launches, and when we preview the phones as well, it's very impressive. Mm. Let's not talk about the screen, but in mm. terms of the design, the layout, the waterproofing, those kind of things.
The camera.
Yeah. Mm. Nowhere near that other players.
Yeah, I think since Sony, Sony Ericsson became Sony, I think there's more focus on the Sony brand itself. They are beginning to put more of Sony technology into their devices as mm-hmm. compared to previous.
Yep.
And I think their phones, as far as the consumer is concerned, looks mm-hmm. more cool compared mm. to the previous generations. Yeah.
Mm. And also, the just to highlight is that the Google also launched the Play Store editions.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
yeah, for mm-hmm. the Z Ultra. That shows that the phone is popular.
Mm. Okay, so moving on to other OSs, we've mm-hmm. got so many bunch. Yeah. There's Blackberries, there's mobile, there's mm-hmm. There's the Blackberries, there's the Windows phones, mm-hmm. and then you also got your independent makers like the Jolla. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on like third players? Are these even in fact third players? Should we really take a look at them?
To me, the more the merrier, of course. Mm-hmm. Of mm-hmm. course, Android and iOS is still the big brothers as mm-hmm. far as OSs are concerned. With Nokia still hanging very tightly to mm-hmm. to Windows, mm-hmm. there will always be a market for Windows, and especially with the notebooks and the PCs also using Windows, there will always be a market for that. Then comes, of course, the underdogs and or the open source people. We have mm-hmm. Jolla, who recently, just weeks mm-hmm. ago, just launched their Jolla phone. And of course, that you know was formerly the Migo platform from mm-hmm. the Nokia days. I think if Migo didn't change anything in Jolla, okay, or rather Jolla mm-hmm. didn't change anything mm-hmm. in Migo, then there's very, very huge potential in mm-hmm. this OS. And I'm dying to get my hands on one of these Jolla OSs.
Yeah.
So Sailfish OS, that's the name of the OS. Mm-hmm. As of the others, mm-hmm. we have been hearing off and on about Ubuntu and Firefox, whether eventually they will make a big impact. I would love mm-hmm. to see them doing mm-hmm. it. Again, that left to the open source community and whether the users will be willing to pick it up and brands will be able to adopt it.
Mm. Mm. But I think if we are into most of the things we're moving into the cloud, right? With more OSs coming in, if they support the cloud platform, it shouldn't be any problem. So which means it gives the consumer more options as well for them to choose the type of phone they want to have. Like for example, I think the Jolla Sailfish, in terms of design-wise, right, it's very nice. Mm. Yeah. It has the Nokia kind of DNA into it as well.
It's using the N9.
N9 platform. Yes.
From Amigo. Yeah.
But basically, what Jolla also mentioned, they will allow their OS to be loaded onto a Nexus or any other Android devices in the future. So that is very interesting. It brings back memories of those days when PC notebooks were booming, and they have PCs that came in with free DOS, so you can essentially pick and choose what OSs you want.
What Yola also said, that apparently the Sailfish OS will be will allow you to download and run some Google Android's apps, which is a good thing, which is what the BlackBerry 10 was supposed to do, but didn't quite work out in the way. Anyways, Christmas is tomorrow.
Yep.
If you were to wake up tomorrow and see a smartphone at your door, what smartphone would you like it to be?
For me, this year, I would love to see the Nexus 5. Because I feel...
There you go.
Oh, Selman has one now. Okay, I will steal it from him afterwards. Anyway, Nexus 5 is essentially, you know, is LG is behind it.
Yeah.
And what Google did was to work very closely with Nexus.
Yep.
With LG to come out with this Nexus. First was Nexus 4 and then Nexus 5. And knowing LG, for this year they've been very, very quiet. You know, I think they prefer to concentrate fully to work with Google and come out with a killer phone rather than, you know, go and experiment and with their other phones and, you know, at the end of the day not quite getting the results they want. So Nexus 5 is my choice.
Samuel?
Well, I've said this many times, even my wife also, she already knew it very well, but you know, she's not getting it from me, it's the iPhone 5S.
Again, it's very hard to pick a favorite smartphone.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, you see, for the iPhone 5S, it's about 3,000 ringgit without any contract.
Yeah.
Whereas your Nexus 5 is only about 1,300 ringgit without any contract, if you buy it from, you know, the States or if you buy it from Singapore.
Yeah.
The price difference is too, it's too large, and, you know, Why is that? Why do you think the this, you know, sort of this bracket of the higher end phones, the mid range phones, and the lower range phones are becoming now narrower? Especially the mid range phones, they're becoming, you know, as good as the high end phones. For prime example, the Nexus 5 and the iPhone 5S. Although on paper, they don't really go to head, but usability, it is as good as any phones.
As far as the Nexus branding is concerned, we all know that Google has subsidized some of the hardware aspects of it. So I think from day one, any Nexus phone has always been in a cheaper bracket, so as to speak. But coming back to your question, I feel that this year is very significant for the for some of the mid-range phones. One reason, and I contribute the reason to chipsets. Previously, we have the likes of Qualcomm and the big guys, you know, and the chipsets were controlled by the few big brothers like Samsung and all these people. So, but now the mid-range phone has an alternative by the name of MediaTek, MTK in short. And MTK has brought quad-core chipsets to the level playing field with these big boys. So you have the likes of, you know, if you're talking about local brands, you have the likes of Spice CSL, you have the likes of Nitology, you know. And even international brands like Alcatel and Lenovo really making an impact. In fact, Lenovo is, as far as smartphone market is concerned, they have claimed to be number three this year worldwide.
Wow, that's so very fast.
Yeah, that's very fast for a phone. They have just come in quite late in the mobile, especially the smartphone mobile playing field. So that chipset alone has brought down the price to below 1,000. You know, if you compare to the likes of quad-core of the likes of Samsung or HTC, which comes to a sub 2,000 price previously.
But I suppose the it all comes back. I mean, when we talk about in terms of the Nexus 5 and also the iPhone, the all the Nexus devices, I think the key difference is that the one for Nexus 5 is really reaching out to everyone. Whoever who has the interest, you really want a really good smartphones. That will be something for you. Whereas for the iPhone 5S, in a way, it also comes in like a status kind of thing. I mean, unfortunately. But in terms of practicality, I still find it's quite easy to use for iOS compared to Android. I mean, although I only use it for less than a month now. Okay, talking about the mid-range phones is that we have now very good options for people who are looking for, hey, I want to buy a smartphone now. Plenty of options. Imagine in the past, you want to buy a smartphone, you're talking about 2,000 at least, or 1,005. Now, I think like a few days ago, I bought a Christmas gift for both our sons. It's 280 for Android Jelly Bean. In the past, you never can imagine that the phone will be this price. 280, you probably will think of a feature phone, right? Those the keypad phone without any touch screen. I mean, now it has changed, which means now it's encouraging more users to be converted from feature phone comfort level, so now move up to the smartphone.
Yeah, which I also feel next year we will probably see the feature phone date. You know.
Probably even my mother also, she doesn't mind because the screen is bigger.
Yeah, easier to read. Yeah. Anyways, when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about ultrabooks and apps and standouts in 2013, including 3D printing. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. Jeff Sandu here, and with me is Samuel Tan and also Bernard Yeo from Mobile Fest, and we are going through some of the highlights in 2013. And early on, we spoke about the OS, including Yola. Let's move on to about ultrabooks. This year has been quite an interesting year. We saw the new MacBook Air with an amazing battery life.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Actually, the MacBook Air, if a non-Apple users, they look at it, it just looked the same. Like the first generation MacBook Air. But of course, the hardware part has already been improved. And
of course, this year we have the new OS.
Yeah. Yes, the Maverick.
The Maverick. So with the Maverick comes many improvements as well.
Yeah, I think it took a few weeks to convince Bernard to change, like to upgrade to the
Maverick. It took me a few weeks. I have to make sure that after Samuel put it up, it's no problem and all that, then only I will get on it.
What about the about you know other brands?
Yes.
Sony.
Okay, we from the Mobile Fest, we have quite a few of the users. They are using the Vio Pro 11. That's something where it's actually more expensive than a MacBook Air, but it's the best ultra portable out there at the moment. It's running on Windows. And sorry to say to any of the Surface fans out there, this is way better than a Surface.
Because of the build quality?
Yeah.
Or
and also the screen.
Right.
And of course, the portability, the weight, the thickness, and so on. And of course, it's a Sony.
What about Bernard? You are using an Asus Pad phone.
Yeah.
How's that like?
Well, I love the Pad phone because essentially I keep all my data in one device, you know, as opposed to having a tablet and a phone. So I feel that it's very practical for me. I don't have to like figure out where did I put my data from one device to the other. On top of that, the Pad phone is the station is also a charging station. So with the apps and phone now being notoriously
power hungry,
so this makes me, especially a road warrior like me, a very practical tool to have.
You don't need a power bank.
Yeah. But now since we are touching on ultra portables and ASUS, I would like to also mention that this year saw many innovative ideas coming from ASUS itself. We have the Tai Chi. Remember the Tai Chi with the dual screen? I mean, whether it's practical or not, ASUS to me has always been one that dares to experiment, and that I love to see in any tech company. Instead of just following, they get the ball rolling and see how it goes. You know,
you also got the Lenovo Yoga Pad or something like that.
Yeah, we have the Yoga series, and now we have Yoga Pro. Just today was launched in Malaysia, and we have now the new tablet called Yoga Tablet. It's an 8-inch and a 10-inch tablet, which actually has a lever that you can stand and tilt and things like that. It's completely
so it's like all the yoga poses.
Yeah, I guess when they were launching, I was just imagining all the yoga poses. But it's a good effort. It's a good effort. Yeah.
Let's move on to apps. Standout apps of 2013. Do we have any? Can you pick a standout app?
To me, personally, I would not go really into specifically into ads. But if you ask me to say something about apps for this year, I would say trends. And there are two trends to me that sticks out. First, I see a trend in the fitness apps. I think this coincides with the likes of wearables like Pebble and all this.
Your Fitbit and
Fitbit
all.
And
Nike Fuel Band.
Even the gear, you know, the Samsung gear and all that. So that is a trend that I see emerging in 2013. The other trend is the rehash or improvement on contents. Now I see it in Malaysia context especially. We have the likes of Astro2Go, and Hip TV also has the apps that can get contents on mobile devices. So that's one. That's on video, on TV. On music side, of course, there's Spotify, among others, you know, and I think they are really making a comeback as far as contents are concerned. So that's on me, on my side.
Samuel?
Okay.
You can't live without MyTaxi.
Yes, yeah. I came to BFM with MyTaxi also. It's one great app. And also I tweeted the MyTaxi team because I saw many of their taxi drivers using the U-Mobile, and then they just launched the LTE. So I was congratulating them earlier that, hey, it's good news for all the drivers. So now they can use the LTE. Talking about in terms of the content-wise, I think it really have changed a lot. Just the same, like, because the way how content is being presented, like, for example, for BFM, if you don't have the time to listen to a specific program, then you have the podcast options. So just like the Spotify. So as an app, so they have provide the mobile versions now for free. It's a wonderful thing. Imagine like if I can go for running or cycling, so I don't have to load the music. I just make sure that I have the data plan with me, then I can actually listen to the music when I'm anywhere. So that's the big things change. Talking about the in terms of the fitness apps, because I use the Fitbit, I find there's one thing, it really helps the users. It's not so much where it's just like a trend, but it's also where there's always a need that we need to know how our health overall performance and so on and so forth. So now they have the gadgets and the device, and the apps to actually tells you to update the status, things like that.
You know, it seems that, you know, we talked about the Fitbit, the Nike Fuel Band, Pebble. It leans towards Bluetooth technology, which has sort of earlier, you know, in the early parts of year 2000 and probably in 2005, 2006, it sort of died off slowly, and people are just using it for, you know, Bluetooth headsets. Now, though, it's, you know, it's Bluetooth wireless headphones and wireless speakers and there's, you know, watches. Bluetooth has come back in 2013 in a way.
Yeah, I think the connectivity has improved with the new versions of Bluetooth. I think we are seeing new trends of speaker boxes, especially. I think recently Jabra launched I think two or three new speaker boxes.
I just got the Soulmate recently.
And they have the Max, which is a huge, very awesome speaker with the boombox and that works in. So I think it's also useful for video conferencing, for example, or doing any meetings that you need to use it, and it's fantastic.
And also the Bluetooth plays an important role between the communications of the fitness devices to the mobile phones, because that's how they send the message through, because they're using the Bluetooth 4.0, which also generate less usage of the power. So you can just leave your Bluetooth on the phone, then lets it communicate with your devices.
What about standouts in 2013? Any technology that stand out? Google Glass, perhaps, or, you know, 3D printing?
If for personal picks, I think would be the 3D printing. Because never before that we would think that they will come. Like so soon. I mean, all of a sudden, I think all the companies that they just introduced that, and then you already have people making guns. And then you have the doodle.
Yeah, the doodle.
Where you can make the, I saw the, you make the glasses.
I made glasses. There's an Eiffel Tower on my table and all. It's quite nifty.
It's like we are no longer in a stage where we think print is paper. So now printing is already moving to so many other things. It's very good for prototype. And also, of course, when you don't have the way to make something, then of course, then you can just use a 3D printing to make it up.
But to me, I don't have a specific technology that I felt really stood up. But what I saw is basically people are consolidating. The technology company are consolidating their technology. The Bluetooth have improved what we said just now. The OSs have improved more towards the back end rather than the front end. You know, the open source community is becoming more active. You know, hardware is becoming more challenging. We have the likes of wearables. You know, the new wearables that are coming. Google Glass, for example, is one of them. Innovation in the sense of what I mentioned just now about convertibles, all in one, two in ones, three in ones. You know, things like that. So people are just improvising on what they already have rather than something that is generally stood out this year.
Some are saying that 2013 is the year of experimenting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So obviously with experiments, you will have failures.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 2013, there were a lot of failures. Cash was slamming the Google Glass
He doesn't like Google Glass?
He does not like the Google Glass and also the Galaxy Gear.
Oh, okay. All right, the one I have to agree with.
What about, Bernard, what about... What would you think would be the failures of 2013?
I can say, I mean, Cash has said some, but I would say, I know some would disagree with me, but I would say 5C, the iPhone 5C would have been a failure. To me, is an excuse to raise the price of iOS. So it's really, you know, when you expect something that is supposed to be cheaper.
Yeah,
and
it's not that cheap.
Yeah, and you get something the same price as 5.
Yeah.
No, that's not good at all. The second thing, and this is something that I predicted in the beginning of year, of course, the Surface RT or anything RT for what is the Windows RT, you are seeing a lot of brands are now ditching the RT platform, and I see that as a failure as far as Windows, Microsoft is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, whatever happened to Facebook phones?
Phone.
Was it this year or last year?
HTC tried.
Forgotten about it.
Yeah, so it's like it came in. Was it there? You know, something like that. So I think that was another failure. And lastly, I felt, and again, some might disagree with me, I felt BlackBerry, to a certain extent, was failure. Failure not because they have a very lousy OS or a device. They have a fantastic device in the Z30, but maybe failure by putting too much expectation, you know, and everyone was anticipating a killer phone, a killer OS, but when it came, it was only, you know, on par, I felt that maybe they put too much expectation on the end user. At the end of the day, when it did come, it wasn't really up to par.
Well, they got Alicia Keys to be their
director. Yeah, okay.
You know, what else you expect?
So we all agree there on failures. Sam, anything to add on from that?
Okay, I only have one thing that I find could be, probably you might not see it anymore, is the iPod. So because the way how Apple is going is that probably you only will see the iPod Touch. Because I feel very sad every time when I browse through the Apple pages, I always tempted one to buy an iPod Classic. Because I want to buy it before they remove it from the shelf. I think that's one of the items. And as well as they have the Nano thingy, I don't think it sells.
It's not a watch anymore. So.
Yeah, and it looks ugly because it's not running on the iOS. I don't even know what OS is running on.
I think, like you said, this year has been a year of experimenting as well. And since the passing of Steve Jobs, there's really not much coming from Apple as far as innovation is concerned. So everyone is just looking and see what they can do.
They already have the roadmap for next 5 years. So yeah, after 5 years, then maybe we'll see.
Yeah, true.
All right. Thank you, guys. Samuel Tan and Bernard Yeo.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much. And Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas to all the listeners and to you as well, Jeff.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.